welcome to a very special episode of the Xbox Game Passengers podcast. This is usually the show where myself and a guest will dissect and discuss a single game available on Xbox Game Pass that was chosen for us at random. Today we're doing something different, and I have gathered myself and a couple of friends, and we are just here to talk about a game that dropped on Game Pass a couple months ago in the middle of August, and we've just become completely enamored with it. You know, usually we're sharing our opinions for the first time live on air, so we often have no idea what the other person thinks of the game that we've played. In this case, these guys don't know each other, but I've been texting each of them separately a lot about our experiences with Hades, so not everything that they say is going to be surprising. It's not often that a game like this, like, you know, I just feel like organically so many people that I know were interested in it. And I feel like aside from the big releases that happen each year, it doesn't happen very often. And so I wanted to get a conversation together about it. Shane O'Hare, I'm so sorry that your Need for Speed episode is getting pushed another month. We recorded that back in the summer, and it was a great conversation, and I can't wait for people to hear it. But today I'm talking to Doogie and I'm talking to Evan, both who have been on the show before, about Hades. How are you both doing today?
Well, I can only speak for myself, but I'm very well. How are you? Evan, how are you?
You can speak for me too. That is my answer.
Evan's so great. Yeah, Evan's really good. He's actually had, I don't know, carry on.
I don't even have to be here. Doogie's got this for me.
It's funny. I just kind of realized we're starting this show, but I've talked to both of you about this game, but you haven't talked to each other ever before right now tonight about anything.
It's true. So,
it was nice in the kind of little pre-show moments to hear you guys get to know each other a little bit. It feels a lot less awkward than if I was the one that didn't know either of you. So I'm thankful for that. Hades, guys. Before we jump into it, I don't even know where to start. I am so excited. I'm just so excited to be. Yeah, I'm just so excited to be talking about this game, and we're going to jump into it real quick. But Doogie, why don't you give us a little bit of the synopsis first?
Sure. Recipient of more than 50 Game of the Year awards, in this roguelike dungeon crawler, you'll wield the powers and mythic weapons of Olympus to break free from the clutches of the god of the dead himself, while growing stronger and unraveling more of the story with each unique escape attempt.
Roguelike
such a good synopsis.
That's literally what it is. If you asked me, I would say that verbatim.
I would say that exact thing.
Before we jump into anything, I want to say that this is like one of those times where I am so unbelievably thankful for Game Pass, because not that this is an overly expensive game to buy anyways, but it's one of those games that it came out on Switch a year ago and everyone loved it. And it won, the synopsis said, a ton of Game of the Year awards. And that's in a year when The Last of Us 2 came out and was sweeping the awards from every outlet, aside from it was The Last of Us 2 or it was Hades. And that felt wild to me at the time, because I'm a huge Last of Us fan and a huge Naughty Dog fan, and was Last of Us 2 blew my mind. I was so thankful for this to come on Game Pass, because just the genre, I think, scared me. And, I'm the type of person that I feel like I don't have the idea that you're going to die a lot and that's part of the game and you're going to keep doing the same thing over and over again, and that's part of the game or that's the game in some cases, sounded just so I just didn't think I would have the patience for it. And, there's been games Returnal, which was a huge, one of the PS5's biggest games of this year so far, that looked so neat and sounded so cool. And, if there's a new game coming out and with shiny, nice shrink wrap on it, I'm probably going to want to buy it. And that's one of the few games this year I didn't buy, because it sounded, games in Canada, especially games, are expensive, and I didn't want to risk spending $100 on this thing that I didn't think I would have the patience for. And so Hades is my first roguelite, whatever. This I think would be a roguelite.
Yes, I think you and I talked about this. Evan, continue. Please give us the definition.
Oh, the game Rogue, if nobody knows, is like an old school game. I forget when it came out, but it was one of the original games that people played. And it was essentially, you could only progress if you got better. You died, you figured out more of what was going on. There's random elements during each run you tried. So you die, go back to the beginning. That might sound like a regular arcade game, but you go through and get random power-ups and continue on. But what roguelikes and roguelites do is they allow you to upgrade your character over time and allow you to continue building it as a role-playing, so you're not just dying all the time, you're getting stronger as you progress, but you're always starting at the beginning. Roguelites, on the other hand, will maybe progress you from a certain checkpoint, and you restart from there. But this is a roguelike in the fact that you start at the very beginning, but you do upgrade your character.
I always thought the difference was that a rogue... And I should have Googled this at some point in my life. But I always thought the difference was that a rogue light had some sort of permanent progression, like, say, building the power of your character or adding power-ups or whatever. And a rogue like you would lose all of that stuff in between each run.
The definition is definitely getting muddied over time, okay. I think. But it's, at the end of the day, Hades itself is a permanent progression, but your runs start from the beginning. Mm-hmm.
And I think the interesting thing about this in other, I've played like a bunch of roguelikes and roguelites in my gaming history, but I think one of the important things to note with Hades is that in other roguelikes, there's no like story reason, or there's no like gameplay reason to die and go back and start again. Like, it's just, you know, and it's a very video game feeling type thing. Like, you mentioned it being very sounding like an arcade game, and that, I think, as a certain extent, you're very aware that you're playing a game that you'll try and run through again and again and again. Whereas with Hades, because, you know, you're in the underworld, dying is just a part, like, everyone actually mentions the fact that, like, hey, you know, you beat me that time, totally. You died, you've come back. And I think that was such a cool thing about this, and it kept me in the world rather than taking me away from it, which is why I think, I remember, Derek, you had texted me after it had been out for, like, what, 2 days or something like that, and I had already racked up something like 9 hours of gameplay time, something disgusting like that, because it kept, like... that was one of the things that kept me going, and it kept me in the world because I was invested. Like, from the word go, I was invested.
I'm still invested. I ran all the way through to the end. We didn't give anybody any spoiler warnings, but just in case, we might have spoiler warnings from this point forward.
This is your warning.
He's calling it executive decision.
I'm calling it. This is the executive decision.
Before you spoil anything.
Before I spoil anything further,
it sounds like we all love this game, and that if you haven't played this game, you should go play this game immediately. Yeah, and 100%. I was super hesitant. You know, again, as I said, I would never have tried this game if it wasn't for Game Pass. This did not feel like the game or a genre for me, and I've skipped other games that sounded cool because it just sounds like I don't want to do the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And though that is the gameplay loop of this game, it never feels like that. This is probably like, I've played a lot of good games lately, and this is probably like one of the most just like pure fun experience. And it's so much more than that, but one of the most pure fun experiences I've had in a long time. I could not recommend this game more.
It's got amazing combat, amazing progression loop, amazing storyline loop to keep you hooked. And it just keeps doing those things over and over and over and over and over very well. I was actually so surprised. That I like the idea of roguelikes, but I have never found the roguelike that I liked until Hades came around long.
It's more like a rogue love this time around.
It's a rogue love. I'm totally into it. My attention got taken away from other games, but I'm totally coming back to it. I'm totally playing more. It is going to be my game of choice where I just want to sit down for a little bit or a long bit to pick up and play again. Just because there's more story elements. I don't understand how they have so much spoken dialogue in this game. There's just so much. I've never never saw or heard a repeated line of dialogue.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind.
And I think what's amazing about that, and looking at like Supergiant Games who made Hades, and you look at like their previous games, you look at Bastion and Transistor, and I never played Pyre, but it was meant to be like fantastically written as well. And like their written dialogue is fantastic. Like it's unbelievable. And all of the voice actors that they hire are just unreal humans, and they can bring across like, you know, you play in this as Zagreus, who is Hades' son, and the dialogue between that like father and son, where the son is like that tempestuous like teenager, like, no, you can't keep me here forever, I'm gonna get out and I'm gonna keep going and keep going and keep going, and Hades is just there the whole time like, oh, you're back, you died again, great, like I told you wouldn't escape, like what are you doing, like you're such an idiot, like I felt like a teenager being so pissed off at my dad being like, you can't keep me here, no, I will escape, fuck you. And it was just so incredibly done, and like all the dialogue between all the people who were helping you versus all the people who were like rooting for you. And I only managed to complete like two or three runs, so I only got so far in the kind of like overarching story.
Yeah, right.
But like everything that you discover as you go through is just unbelievable, and it's so well written.
Sorry to cut you off, Derek, but my favorite voice actress is whoever does Meg. She just delivers this drawl, almost monotone, like bored attitude in every single line that she gives.
Yeah.
And it's just an amazing mix of emotions of like, I don't want to be here. You're not worth my time. And then the voice acting actually progresses over time. Mm-hmm. As you get to know Meg more, you can build up relationships with each of the characters in the almost every single character. I think all characters, you can build a relationship with them. The more you build, the more they open up to you, more story that of them that you get as well. Mm-hmm. And I just, going back to voice acting, I love who did Meg. Now after this podcast, I'm going to look it up and figure out who that voice actress is and figure out what else they've done, because I just thought it was amazing.
Well, it's great. She's on TikTok, Evan. I don't know whether you have ventured onto the TikTok universe.
Oh, I stay away.
Okay, now is your time to join the masses, my friend, because she's on TikTok, and she does, like, people will comment lines that they request her to say in Meg's voice, and it's pretty incredible.
Really?
It's pretty fun. It's really cool.
I think you just sold Evan.
100%. Yeah, I need to get a new ringtone, say something like answer the damn phone in that Meg dreary voice.
I think we can probably jump into spoilers now. We could probably jump into spoilers now. I don't even know where to start. I feel like it seems like such a simple game, but there's so much to it as well in regards to like, there's so many different weapons, and I literally only tried like two or three of them. And then I was like, I like this one, and never changed it ever again, which talking to Doogie, it's very different than the way that you played it.
Oh, yeah. I also unlocked every single weapon before I unlocked the extra skill points.
See, I knew I liked you, Evan.
There we go.
I was like, I did like a few sword runs, and you know, because you start with the sword, and then I did the bow once, and I was like, that fucking sucked. And then I unlocked the spear, and then I've only played with the spear since then. Like,
I find that incredible, because when, you know, on the surface, when you look at this, you know, I didn't even make a conscious choice to be like, I'm going to unlock all the weapons, then I'm going to go back and do this. Like, I feel like when I spoke to you about it, Derek, you were very, okay, I focused on, and it was like you focused on all the mirror stuff first, and then you decided you were going to start unlocking weapons, but then you just fell in love with the spear and that was it. And I feel like I didn't even approach it with that kind of conscious decision, but it just kind of turned out that as I was going through, I was like, oh, there's some more like Titan's Blood. Let me unlock another weapon, try that for a run and kind of experiment and go out and look at other builds and blah, 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 blah. So like I remember before I had like killed Hades and gotten through to Mom, the closest I ever got before actually completing a run was actually with the gun, the sort of like machine gun grenade launcher type thing. And the minute I unlocked that and the minute I had like done a really successful run with that, I was like, okay, now I need to go back and revisit everything, because I thought this sucked the first time I used it. But then I found the right like power-ups, and I found the right like, you know, the right amount of health, and I found the way to move around with that weapon, and I found the play style that would suit that weapon. So I found it incredible. And when you had texted me and said like, you know, I've pretty much never used anything but the spear and I've just completed my first run, I was immediately like, you are the worst and I hate you so much right now.
Well, and I felt so mad at that time too, because the Xbox app like shows your time, and I think I beat my first run at like 12 or 13 hours or something, and you were at like 20 something at that
100%,
point,
and I was still like struggling through. So Evan, like your first run, because I know Derek's first run that he actually beat Hades with was the spear. What was the weapon that you used?
So the first run where I won was also the spear. The second run was the shield, and the third run was the bow, and then subsequent runs I don't remember after that.
You finished quite a few then.
Yeah,
until the other game got released, I was playing this a lot. And just for anybody that's listening to this, they might actually be confused. They're like, Mir, Titan's Blood, what the F is going on?
Yeah, we've used a lot of immediate like words that people are going to be like, okay, I'm already lost.
Yeah, so I just feel like I want to put a little context in here. So yeah, as Zeg... Yeah, as Zagreus, you are being helped out by a mother figure called Nyx, and she's giving you this powerful mirror that upgrades your powers. That's the permanent upgrades of the game. You then go into another room, and you pick out your weapon. It starts with a sword at first, but then it progresses through. Once you get to different points in the game, you start getting special items, or in this case, a Titan's Blood, usually by defeating the first boss multiple times with multiple different weapons, and this allows you to unlock more. But you don't actually get the new weapons like that. You need keys that you can get through your progression, and you unlock all the new weapons this way. But those keys will also, you can upgrade and unlock new upgrades. So Derek took the approach of all my keys go into the permanent upgrades, where it seems that Doogie and I took the other approach. All my keys that I get at the beginning game goes into my weapons. Because I want that, for me personally, I want that idea of how can I play this game differently. And it's every single weapon is different. Like you play the game differently every time choose a different weapon. You've got the ranged bow, you've got the ranged assault rifle, which play differently from each other. Then you've got the standard sword that acts and feels like you expect, but then you go into the spear that you can plays differently from that, and there's other weapons in there as well, the shield and the gauntlets are my favorite. I think my second or third was actually the gauntlets, because I stacked dodge, and stacking dodge you're invincible.
Yeah, I find that amazing. Like the only runs I've ever managed to fully complete have been with the shield. For the sole reason that you can block anything, which I kind of like going through. And we should mention as well, this game was in early access for like 2.5 years. So they did like so much tweaking, and they took so much feedback from the community that were playing early access. And I remember once I had like completed a couple of runs, I started to look at like the community and what people were saying about it, and like, you know, different builds that people had recommended and things like that. And the one thing that pretty much everyone has said is that the shield is so overpowered, because you can block anything, and if you time things just right, even Hades' attacks, even the final boss's attacks, you can 100% mitigate the damage from. So essentially, when you go through, you can just time your blocks correctly.
Fair enough.
You're able to, or your run is probably going to be a bit longer because you're spending way more time in defense than you are offense. That you'll do that, but like, you know, playing with something like the Spear, which is a really fast pace, and the Gauntlets, Evan, I actually love playing with the Gauntlets. There's a particular like version of the Gauntlets that actually like magnetizes enemies towards
and pulls
you,
them in,
and
yeah.
then you do like this big uppercut to like knock them all away, and it just like visually and like cathartically from like a room-to-room standpoint, like the gameplay of that particular set of weapons is, you feel so much like a god. It's so cool.
And you stack Hades speed enchantments on that. Yeah. You're just rushing around everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, it is so fun.
So like playing with Gauntlets or the Spear, I feel like is much more fast paced. It's much more aggressive as a play style, which for someone like me, I play these kind of games a lot of the time, mm-hmm. very, very defensively. And I play them very much like I'm going to try and be patient with my attacks.
Really?
I'm going to try and dodge this and shield this and things like that.
I feel like the Spear is like, and this is one of the few games I can remember in ages where, and it's one of those things too, where because there is, you know, you die a lot. And especially before, I think you finish the game the first time, you die a lot. And so it's mm-hmm. like one of those things where you're like, I'll sit down and I'll be like, I'm gonna play for half an hour, and then 3.5 hours later I'm still playing, which never happens to me. Like I can't remember the last game that happened with, but there was sessions of playing this game where I had to stop because like my hands were literally like hurting from like gripping the controller so tight, or from trying to press the buttons so fast, or whatever. And because it's basically like, I don't know what either of your like general, like the way you approached each room was, but it like, I was, especially with the Spirit, felt like, but it was like never stop moving. Like, like just like I'm mashing the dodge button and just hitting the, like hitting the special or the attack button, between dodges type thing, but it never stops.
Mm. Yeah. On the dodging thing, I have to go back to the shield on the blocking, what Doogie meant for the block. So Doogie, this is a prime example of, you're always learning about this game because I put, I don't know how many hours. I think I'm at 20 hours. I think I got my first run around the 12-hour mark or something like that. But the thing is, I never knew you could block with the shield.
What? Like until now?
Yeah, until like 5 minutes ago when Doogie mentioned it. Yeah,
that's great. So the run that you did with the shield, like how?
Evan,
how did you say you've played about?
Did you say you've played 12 hours?
20 at this point, I think.
I'm at 25 hours or something.
The Xbox app says you're over 30 hours at this point.
I'm over 30. Wow, you actually have that up and going, eh? I'm over 30 then. But yeah, no, I didn't realize you could block with it. Is that the bull rush? Like you put yourself into bull rush?
So like when you put yourself in bull rush stance, like you're just holding your shield there and anything that comes towards you, you'll block.
That is so funny. I thought it was the most useless waste of time that I've never used Bull Rush. Well, I like Bull Rush because you're standing there exposed. Obviously, you're not.
You're the most protected that you could ever.
Holy.
And I think that's amazing. So like when I kind of finally figured out, like, okay, I can block anything, and it just depends on where I'm facing. Like, I find it really interesting that you two approach this game from like, okay, the minute I go into this room, I'm going in all guns blazing. I'm going in like super aggressive,
balls
never
to
stop
the wall.
Moving. 100%. I would like go into a room. I would do like a perimeter check to be like, okay, how many enemies do I have? Where they are? Where's what attacks are they going to use? Okay,
no wonder it took you so long to 100%. Beat the first
run. Like, I'm going to stand in this portion of the room and I'm going to block, and then I'm going to ready a bull rush. And then once I've blocked through this round of attacks, I'll bull rush to the other side, and then I'll block and I'll bull rush to the other side. So I was like super zen playing Hades. Like once I figured that was
so
my attack
weird.
Pattern, I was like the most zen. I would kick back, play it for like 45 minutes, do a couple of runs.
That's
like
insane.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Like sometimes I would have to pause mid room and just be like, I just need to breathe. I just need to breathe for a minute. Like,
and then here I am. I'm just like, go, 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 go. Like my favorite is running the gloves with the dodge enchantments on it and getting as many. I said Hades, but I totally meant Hermes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Hermes upgrades to speed myself along. So when an enemy died, it like your speed is now increased by like 30% and you're just rushing around. That's how I played the shield.
Mm. Oh, that's so interesting, man. Like that's I find that and I think that's a testament to like not only
the variety.
I mean, like the fact that we've just described three different
I have no idea what you guys are talking about, and I
because you only ever used
many
the shield.
Hours.
Yeah, 100%. Or you've only ever used the spear. But like, and I find that like when I tried to use the other weapons, like I remember I did a whole bunch of runs with the bow because there was a particular version of the bow that you unlock, and the we should kind of explain as well. There's three kinds of attacks that you can use with any of the weapons. So there's like light attack, heavy attack, and then there's something called a cast, and you can only do the cast so many times, but you can modify your cast to do particular things, and with certain weapons you can do different things with the cast. So one of the things you can do with the bow is you can attach your sort of cast to the shot of your bow to make it super powerful. So I did a bunch of runs with the bow where, again, it would be like you'd walk into the room, load up your bow with a super powerful shot, one shot anything in the room, and then rinse and repeat, basically. But I found that with that, because you had to stand in place to draw the bow, that was when I felt, Evan, to your point, that's when I felt like super exposed. And once it gets to the later levels, you need to have like more dodge, or you need to have more things to protect you or move out the way. So those runs would be really fun up until like the third kind of like world or like the second or third boss. And then you would just get steamrolled, man.
Yeah. The bow, I play like gauntlets as well. So essentially there's another upgrade. So yeah, you can unlock different versions of the, we talked about the gauntlets and getting a magnetization. The bow has a AOE attack that just spreads, mm-hmm. volleys a bunch of arrows out. But there's a version of the bow that when you can mark an enemy.
That's right, and yeah.
And then when you press that special that would normally do that fan of arrows, it actually homes in. So I would dash, quickly attack by just holding the button for like a millisecond. And then I would just spam the special button. Mm-hmm. And I'd just keep dash spam. And I'd run around like this with the bow. But I found once I got used to the bow, it was always dash attack.
It's funny that dash attack, regardless of weapon, it was something I would almost always forget about and never use, even though I was dashing constantly, until I would get like a boon that would be like, your dash attack does this. And then I would remember it for like four hits, and then I forget it again. Like
the dash attack was my go-to.
Crazy. It's like, it feels like this, and it's just a testament to like how well the game works so well. It feels like regardless, like there's so much variety to it. Like we all, it sounds like, played very different games.
Yeah.
How well it works regardless of that. Like,
yeah,
absolutely.
It's crazy.
And like to your point, like other than those runs I did with the bow, I could not tell you, I could probably count on both hands the amount of times that I used the actual cast like ability. Like once yeah. I discovered that shield was bay, like that was it. Like the block and
well,
door
on the
it.
Cast there's a one of the power-ups in the Mirror of Night. So one of the permanent power-ups is called Boil of Blood, and so each rank of Boil of Blood, and there's five ranks that you can do, each rank gives you plus 10% damage basically for each cast, that because they can like get the normal cast and a couple of the other ones get like stuck in the enemies for a while, mm-hmm. so each cast that's in them you get like a 50% damage boost. And I would often like choose whatever boon, you know, there's certain boons that give you an additional cast, or there's certain things you can buy that give you like an additional cast for like six chambers or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then you can upgrade yourself to have three normally. So I would like enter a room, throw three casts or however many I have into the biggest guy. And then I'm doing 150% extra or 250% extra damage. And then like they die just so quickly at that point. Mm-hmm. And then pick up my cast, start throwing them at the next guy. Like, so to have like, it's just wild that that's like, so like we're all so vastly differently playing yeah. it. It's unbelievable, really.
Yeah.
The I will mention about being playing differently. Derek, you actually kind of handicapped yourself a little bit because the game is set up to kind of force you. If you want to progress quickly, it forces you to play and progress with each weapon.
It does, yes.
Yeah. So what I mean by that is that you play with the sword and you defeat boss number 2, 3. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 bosses total in the run. And each one delivers a special item that goes toward helping you permanently upgrade.
But only the first time you beat them with each weapon, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, So it forces you to, but on the other side, if you're doing it with the same weapons, you're also gathering a lot of darkness because like each boss, I think the first one's like 100 darkness and then 150 and then 200 like per boss that you're beating.
Right.
Which gets you like fully powered up faster as well. But also because I it's super weird and I'm probably playing it wrong, but like, because I found the spear and I was like, okay, the spear is the weapon that like, this is the weapon you're supposed to use to play this game. You know, because I got there, I was like, I don't know what the Titan's blood does. Like, I don't know what this other, like whatever the one you get in the second world does. I just have some of them and I like have no idea what they're for because I'm not playing it right. And I've ignored that part of the game.
And I think that's, it's a really interesting point. And we've kind of mentioned it a couple times now is that like, this is one of the very few games. And I feel like AAA developers could learn a lot from something like Hades in the sense that when a lot of people talk about, oh, there's multiple ways to play this game, what they really mean is there's a preferred method or there's a method which is the right way. And then we've maybe added another couple of ways that you can try out, but they're not really like the optimal method or they're not really like the sort of quote unquote good way of doing things. I feel like with this, like even talking to both of you, I find it fascinating that like, Evan managed to get anywhere with like, you know, even doing a sword run, like a full sword run. That's bananas to me. That's crazy. The fact that you use nothing but the spear and still managed to find success, like that's a testament to prove that there are multiple ways to be able to attack this game. and you know, if you actually take a step back and look at like something like a core gameplay loop, like something that's going to keep you invested in a game time after time after time. I think the fact that like, you know, Evan's still going back and playing this game, like before we did this podcast, I was like, I was like, oh my God, I would get to play another run of Hades. Like if I play like another round before I join the podcast, but then I thought, no, because I'm going to be 6 hours and I'll be, you know, it's never going to end. But I think it's such an interesting thing to think that they've put so much effort into this core gameplay loop and it really, really shows. And they've clearly taken a lot of feedback on board. They've clearly managed to balance things out other than the shield being completely OP. But they've managed to balance things in such a way that it's, even when you're losing at this game, it is so much fun to play. It's unbelievably fun.
I will say for people that are starting out though, I have some friends that have bought Hades and they never proceeded after the first boss. And if you are feeling like that, just keep hitting it because once you finish that first boss, it all just clicks.
Mm-hmm. And how good did you feel the first time you finally beat the first boss? Like I felt like a sports fan, like yelling at my television, which I've never felt in my life before.
Yes.
Like
so good,
swearing at myself when I would lose. But I just remember like throwing my like fist up in the air, like fuck yeah, like the first time I did it, and I was so close to death. I'm sure that time as well, like felt unbelievable.
Yeah, and hey, if you think you're going to get bored by doing the same boss over and over, don't worry, they got you covered too because they switch the bosses up when you least expect it. All of a sudden, you're walking into that room where you met Meg, one of the first boss. You met her like 10 times, and all of a sudden, it's someone completely different. You're like, what is going on? And the attack patterns are similar but completely different.
Just different enough to fuck you up.
And you're learning something. Have you guys fought all three of them at once yet?
No.
Yeah. What? What?
That is a treat. That is a treat.
How do you beat that? That sounds ridiculous.
It it took me, I think I, so I used my Death Defiance about three times that battle and decided I'm not going to do that again for a while. For people that don't know, when you die, you're dead, but there's a permanent upgrade called Death Defiance, that allows you to, cheat death up to three times, depending how far you upgraded it. And so I used all three of them on all three of my Death Defiances on Meg and her sisters. And that was difficult. And how to do that is, you need to go try it right after this is you, on Pain of Punishment, you, there's a boss where the bosses get new abilities. Turn that on and you'll get the three of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh man, that sounds gross. I'm not going to lie. I'm definitely not going to try that. Not for a long time, but
that's crazy. It totally surprised me. Also, like, there's so many things to discover even after going through that. You get the Pain of Punishment after defeating Hades for the first time, which basically makes the game harder, makes you get more rewards. Mm-hmm.
That's like a tough thing to choose between, because I remember the first time I beat it, the first time I defeated Hades, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to jump back in. And then it's like this, like, thing that you have to weigh between, like, would I rather it be harder and I would, like, unlock more stuff and get more stuff to, like, spend on and that sort of thing, or would I rather not make it harder and be, like, have a better chance of making it through again so I can continue, like, the overarching story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm always going for the upgrade, so I've never done a normal run after that unlock.
Really?
Have you guys battled with Karen yet? The ferryman?
Nope.
No.
I'm not going to root for you. I'm not even going to tell you how to do it. Don't look it up. I'll just let you discover it on your own.
Oh my god. The one boss that always really, like, and again, until that fated shield run, the one boss that really messed me up was, is it Theseus? And I can't remember the Minotaur.
Asterius.
That's it. Those two. Evan, I had texted Derek in capital letters on so many occasions. Just like, fuck this fucking mother. Oh my, like, so many expletives just in a row. And I could not, up until I figured out that you could block with the shield and it just mitigated everything, I could not defeat them at all. And it was the most frustrating thing.
Just got to say, man, I defeated them with the shield as well. No blocking.
I need some gameplay footage of this, Evan, because I need to know how you managed to get through a shield run without blocking. That's ridiculous.
You know what it was is actually, I got a lot of dash attacks, and it's one of the most amazing dash attacks is the shield. And that, I got a bunch of, you just stack attack bonuses, and you stack them with, if you can find them, dash attack bonuses, and you're
just a monster
through the roof. So you're continually dashing, you dash attack, dash attack. So that's how you do it. You're dodging pretty much everything while fitting in an attack.
Yeah, so that's amazing.
I'd love to know the overall, like, gameplay loop is, like, you go into a chamber, like a room, they call it a chamber, fight everything that's in it, and then you'll usually have the choice between, like, two or sometimes more, like, different rooms to go in, and you can see, before you go in the room, you can see what the reward for clearing that room is. And it could be, like, money that you use to, like, spend with Charon, or it could be like a power up from a certain god. So the game, we haven't even gotten into this.
We haven't
this,
talked about gods.
No, there's you're trying to essentially, like, make it to Mount Olympus. And so the gods of Olympus are who, based on the way that the story goes, it seems like they can't really communicate with you or see you, but they, like, are sending you things to help you, like, make it, to help you on your journey. And so before you go into the next chamber, you might be able to see, or you can see, like, which god's power-ups power up is the reward for that room. So you might have to, for instance, choose between two of them. Like I'm going to go in this room because I really want like a Hermes thing, or like, oh, there's so many.
Aphrodite.
Yeah.
She was so sweet. I loved picking her stuff because I loved hearing her voice.
And it's just, I would love to know, what were the types of power-ups that you would generally go for? There's also like, there was like a hammer, which would basically let you upgrade your special or your attack in a certain way.
Yeah.
Like there was so many different things that you could choose, and it was like often tough to like know which room to go into, because it was like choosing between two things that could really change the game for you or change the run for you.
I gotta say, when I first started playing, I made a joke about Aphrodite, but that was actually my motivation to go with Aphrodite upgrades, was because she was so sweet to this character Zagreus, and it made me as a player just feel so appreciated. Mm-hmm. And that it, just the writing and the way the voice lines and the voice acting was delivered, that I literally chose this upgrade over all other upgrades just for that experience.
She charmed not the you.
She totally charmed me. She is the goddess of love, and they did it beautifully. It totally just totally infatuated me. So, but also she had some really, she is the highest straight damage mm-hmm. upgrade available. So she not only upgrades your damage, but she inflicts 30% less damage from enemies mm-hmm. that are hit with her attacks. So she was a really solid pick in my book.
Yeah, so a lot of the boons would like have effects on the enemies that they would hit, and some of those could stack as well. So like Aphrodite had a lot of her boons would inflict something called Charm. Charm was the one that they did less damage to you, is that correct?
No, it was called Weak, but they deal less damage, 30% less, yeah.
And then what Charm was just, Charm I think was like, if it hits, the charm hits them, and then it like is a few seconds, and then they take like a little burst of damage. But that
there's
also,
there's a rare upgrade.
Okay.
Yeah. I think charm was actually the one where like if like the weaker enemies would actually fight for you for a little portion of time.
Okay.
Like, but charm, I think, would only come in with some of the like higher Sherwood stuff.
It was legendary, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually found like it depended on the weapon that I was using that would make me make the decision as to what like god to kind of go with or what boons to kind of choose. But like I would always, that hammer that Derek was talking about that upgrades your abilities, like the sort of net win on going for that, that's called the Daedalus hammer, was just like unbelievable. So anytime you see that was just like, that's a must. Okay, it doesn't matter what else is on the other side. And mm-hmm. I found Demeter really awesome. So her boons would give enemies like a chill effect, which would slow them down.
Yes,
it also would give you,
and it stacked up to 10 times
100%. And like once you got it up to 10, there were other boons that like, you know, once you've got 10 enemies
exploited
chilled, like, it X happens or Y happens or whatever. So I found that anytime I could get like anything from Demeter was awesome. When I was using the bow, who was it? I've like got a list up here. Artemis, because Artemis obviously is the god of the hunt, blah blah blah. Like her kind of boons would like go really well with that. So like mm-hmm. her special attack was stronger, and you deal more critical hit damage. And this
I
is
didn't
the thing,
like her.
No,
no, I didn't get
so
enough crit. I didn't get enough crit advantage out of her. She has great damage potential. When I ran with her one time, I would see these 400, 600 numbers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Usually you see 100 on an attack. And it was great, a great feeling to get those, but it didn't happen enough for me.
Yeah. And I think that's a cool, that again, we've kind of flogged this horse to death, but like I think what's so amazing about this is that there's like what, 5 or 6 different weapons to choose from. With every room that you go into, there's a chance of getting one of what, 6 or 7 different gods that would
and
grant
each
you
one
a
of them
boon.
Has like 12
each one of them has like 12
each
to go,
one of
like,
which has 4 rarities.
Yeah, there's there's thousands upon thousands and thousands of combinations that you
and
can
it's
go
random
with,
so you'll never
run. And it
you,
is
you don't know which
random.
You don't know which, like, if I, even if I know which god it is,
yeah,
is it 3
like, it
or 4
be,
options appear, so you never know which options are going to show up.
And so I felt yeah. I was really interested in, like, and again, going back to that idea of, like, that core gameplay loop of, like, room to room, like, making these decisions that might be a complete, like, yeah, do you know what? This was the best choice. Or, oh, God, I can't believe I'm going to have to choose between this, like, absolute trash. And having to, like, make your way through that. I think I often prioritized health as well, because just the amount of damage that you do take, unless sure. you're getting something from, like, Aphrodite, who would boost or like make your enemies weaker or whatever. I felt like health was always a priority for me. And any time that I could go and find, is it Dionysus?
Who oh, yeah.
had the big boulder friend, and he would kind of give you, like, just like a one-off, either a big boost to your health or a big boost to your money or a big boost to your darkness, which was like the sort of currency that you would use to buy power-ups, permanent power-ups in mm-hmm. the mirror back at your house. So I always kind of felt like I would try and gravitate towards him as well. But I think the other thing is that we haven't even really touched on is when, like, the whole thing that Zagreus is trying to do, like, the whole purpose is because he's trying to escape to get back to his mother, or he like the mother character that Evan was talking about earlier on, Nyx. He doesn't ever really believe that, like, that's his genuine mother, and Hades is always just kind of said, like, you know, that's your mom, and he always kind of has this feeling that it's not quite true.
Well, sorry to correct you.
No, go, please. Please do.
So when you start playing, you as a player find out immediately that you are going to the surface to find your true mother, because Nyx, who was the mother figure and raised you, has told you that he found out he has another mother.
Yes.
He has a real mother. And so that is the whole motivation that gets you going. So he knew that from the time you start playing. And then they deliver a flashback later through a story moment, not during the main gameplay loop, but during a story moment after you die, that shows you how he found out.
Yes. Thank you for the correction on that. And like, it's... I find that it's amazing. So the few runs that you actually get through, and like Derek touched on this earlier on, once you beat that first boss, like, that's such an incredible feeling. That is, like, exponential for every other boss that you defeat. The first time that you beat Hades, I don't know about the two of you, but I leapt off the sofa. Like, I was, like, full on, like, dancing in the living room.
Oh, it was,
like,
huge.
Screaming, and shouting.
I sunk loved... into my chair just full relief.
Just like,
yeah, I
just
my loved... chair got deeper.
I loved, I beat him like a day or two before you did, Doogie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you, so yeah, the first, you know, you're fighting Hades, you're getting his health lower, and then you're like, his health empties and he kind of like kneels down and you're like, holy shit, I did it. And then yeah. the fucking meter refills again.
Oh,
and you have to fight like a second wave of him.
Yeah.
And I knew that because I think I hadn't beaten him yet, but I had gotten him to the second stage, and you kept talking about like, oh, I almost got him. I almost got him. And I just like couldn't tell you, but I'm like, he's going to be so mad. Like when he finds out.
And then I think you'll go, Evan, go.
I was going to say when I'm like, yes, I beat him, because I saw Derek posted to me a little picture of him beating Hades, and
yeah.
I got my phone out right away, and I left my controller on the chair behind me, and I went up to the TV to take my picture, and then the bar loaded up, and you should have seen me scramble back to my chair.
Yeah, I had... Derek had like said, you know, he'd like beaten the game and everything like that, and he was like going back and doing other runs, and I was just like, oh, that's it, like, that, you know, motivation, head down, let's go, run after run after run. And I'd been working late, and I'd brought my Xbox through to my bedroom, and I was like sitting in bed, and there's a TV at the end of my bed, so I was like playing it in bed, like my wife's asleep next to me. And I got Hades down, and he falls to his knees, and he makes this like little moment of a speech, and I was like, fuck you, Hades, yes, I nailed it. And I'm like doing this really quiet, like aggressive, like, yes, let's go, and like in the bed of my wife's asleep. And then he stands back up, and I literally out loud was just like, fuck! I was furious, man. Oh, and of course, like by that point as well, and Evan had mentioned the Death Defiance earlier on, I'd gotten to Hades only using one. So I had like three left. I was feeling good, feeling confident, got him down. I'd used up all my Death Defiance, getting him down to that last little sliver of health. So by the time he got back up, I had nothing. I had like 10 health left, no Death Defiance. And he like just the one-shotted me, just like immediately like stood up and kicked my ass. And I was just like, I just remember text Derek in all caps, just a whole bunch of expletives. I don't even think it was a point to the sentence. It was just a whole bunch of swear words, just one after the other.
I was similar, but maybe far more reserved. Yeah. But my experience was he got up, I scrambled back to my chair. I'm rushing away at him and I'm like, okay, I'm doing good. It got harder. The second round is harder than the first. And I just, it was going well. It was going well. I'm like, yes, they wouldn't do this to me a third time. And I got him down to about 10%. And then I died.
That's pretty good. First, like, you got him down to like 10% on the first
on the first visit.
That's insane.
It was so crushing. Yeah. Though, especially after running up to the screen, being so happy.
Yes, I remember. Yeah. Yeah, I remember taking a screenshot when he like kneels down just to be like, "Fuck yeah! Like, this is amazing. I'm gonna remember this, and I will remember it, but for a completely different reason." Yeah.
No, but I think what's amazing about it is like once you finally do beat him and you get through that second health bar and you kind of have this moment of like, is that it? Like, did I do it? Is he coming back up? Yeah. And then like you get through and you eventually go and speak to your mother. And I think there was this like insanely poignant moment where you go and speak to your mother, and this is like the biggest spoiler, I guess, of all, but like you finally get through as your mother and you have this like really tender moment. And in order for you to get to your mother, and as both of my companions this evening has mentioned, like it's a really fast paced game. Like from the minute you start your run to the minute you end, it's like dodge, attack, move, grab this, do that. And it's very, very fast paced. You go through this whole section where you walk through this really, the animation and the art style in this game is so beautiful. It's so beautiful to look at.
Yeah, they force you to take it slow. They do. Like they and force
that whole,
you.
Yeah, and that whole walk, as Evan said, is like it's cripplingly slow. You're walking so slowly and just having to take in this moment. Like, you know, you're sweating from this like 35 minute run, and like you're getting all the way. You finally get to speak to your mother, and she like has this moment with you where she tells you that like you can't stay here, and you're gonna like the underworld is gonna take you again, and you're gonna end back up back where you started. And in order to go and speak to her again, you're gonna have to do that whole run again. You're gonna have to go through and defeat all those monsters and kill Hades again just to get back to continue to talk to her. And I remember like going through that moment, I was like, don't you dare, don't you dare. And then of course you start to fade away and you have this little moment, yes, where like you die again, and then you wake back up in this like pool of blood in the underworld. And I was just like, I just put my head in my hands and I was like, Super Giant Games, you bastards. That was so beautiful. It was such a cool moment.
It totally was. And I you know, the game's been out for a year on Switch, and I remember at some point somebody saying or reading like, oh, you have to like apparently beat it like 10 times to get the bulk of the story or something. Mm-hmm. And I remember like getting to Hades and getting closer and closer to beating Hades and finally beating him and just being like, why would I go through this again? Like, what is, why would I be motivated to continue to go through runs after this? Yeah. And then the like story beats after you beat Hades, like, mm-hmm, yeah. Like I feel like I probably even cried a little bit. It was just very super well done. And I did not expect it to happen at all. And then it just like gave, like, I felt more motivated to continue playing than I did to get up there the first time almost.
Yeah, no, they did an extremely well job of taking care of those first time players, but then they take care of the long term players, and the balance of game design, and it's just phenomenal.
Yeah,
they did.
Again, it goes back to the whole point, and Evan, you kind of touched on that, like this difference between like that first time enjoyment when you have those first few runs and you're starting to get to grips with the combat and you're starting to get to grips with this, that, and the next thing. And then you become proficient enough, you unlock enough upgrades that you get to the point where you get past that first boss. Okay, now I need to upgrade more to get past that second, get past that third, get to Hades, kill Hades. Okay, now I get to speak to Mother. Then you kind of almost restart the clock and you almost go back to ground zero, but not in like a, that sounds really bad to say that because that would be such a frustrating thing. But that time, once you meet her and you go back to the start, like as Derek said, now I'm even more motivated. Now I'm even twice as pissed off at Hades. And I'm like, oh, you're a swine. Get me back there. And like, it's such a, like, we've harped on it a lot. And I think from the word go, I think all of us knew that we were going to recommend this game, but you know,
oh, I don't.
Yeah, you're like, no, don't recommend it. It's
I'm going to play it right after this. Yeah, it's a curse.
But it's a beautiful curse. And like, you know,
a very good
just
curse.
One more run.
just one more run. Derek, you mentioned it at the start of like, you know, games cost a lot of money. And especially with the last couple of years that we've had, like, money can be tight, and you know, money's a really precious thing, and being able to have
so these sign up for Xbox Game Pass.
Sign up for Xbox Game Pass. That's it.
And get a lot for a little.
being able to like experience a game like this, and I often think whenever I've been on the podcast with you, Derek, whenever I've been privileged enough to be a guest, you know, we talk about these experiences as either like really cool things, kind of mediocre things, or really terrible things. This is one of those games where, this is what I love about video games, is at their core, they could be a fun way to kill 30 minutes or 3.5 hours if you get addicted, like we all clearly are. But like, you can tell such an amazing story by immersing the player in not only the world that you're in, but being able to feel really kind of powerful in their own kind of way. And again, we've all talked about the different ways in which we played this game, the different weapons that we used, the different power-ups that we went for, but being able to give three different individuals three different takes on the game and three different gameplay styles, all within one experience, with incredible voice acting, heartbreakingly incredible art style, and just from the word go till the minute I've kind of stopped playing and not actually gone back to Hades yet, but I will. I just love this game, and I could not recommend it enough. And I think anyone, even if it's the first roguelike you've ever played, or it's the only,
and it was
one
my first, it was my first.
Yeah, I think that's just like, this is gonna spoil roguelikes for you.
I was just going to say that no roguelike, and played many, no roguelike lives up to what Hades has
that's
done.
That's wild.
No, and, not even close.
And I just have to add, though, that I think it's fair to say from what we've all said that each of us has experienced an actual, like, full-on blown emotional moment during this. And a lot of games that are being pumped out nowadays, they don't have that same emotional ability brought out. They just kind of, here's the game, especially with mobile games, you don't get that emotional attachment and just outpouring that you get in from Hades. And even AAA games, you don't see that as much, so they did brilliant. So whether you like action-packed gameplay, story, or whatever you're kind of take is, definitely try it out. But I will say it's not for everybody. It is hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And I think it's one of those games, there is like an optional mode, which I didn't end up trying.
Oh, God mode. That's
called
right.
God mode that does it. And I don't know exactly the gameplay benefit that it provides, but there
it
is
beefs
like,
you up and beefs them down.
Okay. Okay. So like, you know, honestly, I would say, like, I think you're right, Evan. I don't think this is for everyone. I don't think roguelikes are for everyone. And I guess you couldn't ever say that there is a game for everyone. But what I would say is that if there's ever been a game that's interested you, that you're just looking for maybe something to kill, as I say, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, you want some cool art style, some great music, some great, like, you know, core gameplay, give it a shot. Like 100% give it a shot, because I like, if you're someone that plays video games, you will get something out of Hades, whether it's just you're the person that wants to go in and like kill everything in the room, and you could take from the story what you want. Like all the dialogue is skippable. You could ignore all of that if you really, really wanted and just go and play like a really cool
fast-paced.
But don't, please don't do it, because it's so good and it's so well written. But I think like what I love about Hades as well is that having played most of Supergiant's games, the only one I haven't played is Pyre. But having played like most of their games, this feels like the culmination of everything that they've been working towards. And I'm so excited to see what they're going to do next.
Yeah, like, me too. Bastion, I'm totally really following cool them
and,
now.
And Transistor was really cool. And they all have that similar, like they're all kind of isometric games. The art style is very, very similar in them all. It's all kind of like half cel shaded, half cartoony, but also really believable for the world that you're in. They do a great job of having that sort of signature style, and they just also happen to be incredibly smart and well written people who can really like bring you along for the ride. And Evan, you said it earlier on, like there's a lot of AAA game development that just doesn't have that same emotional attachment. Like I would be really interested to see the amount of like money and time and effort that's been pumped into the writing team at Supergiant versus, you know, a major AAA developer, and to see the emotional reaction of people from both. And it just goes to show you don't need an enormous budget to be able to do something that's really affecting and really, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've been gushing about Hades for an hour now.
That's true.
Was there anything that you guys did not like about the game, or anything that you could have done without?
The third boss.
Yeah, he really pissed me off, not just because it took me forever to beat him, but just his whole character. He was played way too well and written too well that I hate just thinking about him. Theseus, ugh, it's gross. I can almost like wash his... I can't even explain it.
I don't know, like we have gushed, and I do, you know, when I think of Hades, I do think of it in a very fond, smiley kind of way. I you know, maybe if there was something to experience the story, although having said that, I was going to say if there was a way to experience the story in a quicker way, or maybe, you know, if you said, Derek, that you got to beat it 10 times to kind of get the full breadth of the story,
right?
You know, maybe if there was a way to cut that down, but then I stopped myself to say that, like,
it would take away from it.
Well, it does. It's going to take away from the story, because the whole point of Zagreus's journey is it's a slog. You're trying to break out of the underworld, for God's sake. Like, so that is all part of the story. So that those moments that you get, those beautiful little story beats, come from the slog. They come from the effort and the pain and blood, sweat, and tears that you put into it.
But if you did want to make it easier, you are a person that prefers this story. Death is part of the story. It comes naturally. Death is part of the story. But God mode, I got wrong. It doesn't beef them down. What it does is on every death, you permanently, or Zagreus permanently gets stronger aside from the mirror upgrades.
Mm.
So every death, you get a little bit stronger. So every run you do at 30 or at 10 runs, at 30 runs, you'll be more powerful than you were at 10 runs, more powerful than you were at 0 runs.
Well, that's super smart, because that ties into how the story should be as well. It just helps you a little bit along the way, which is very clever.
Yeah. So if you wanted that, you can turn on God mode. It's just in the settings, no specialness. You don't have to defeat anything. You can turn it on from the before you even start the game.
One thing I think that we haven't said yet, but that I really appreciated and that also kept me going, is that, and it just reminded you saying that death is a part, just a big part of the game itself, Doogie, is that like you do die a lot, but it never ever feels like you're not making progress. Like
It doesn't feel wasted.
Yeah. Like whether you die at the first boss or make it all the way through, like there's always story segments and there's always like when you get back, when you come back out of that pool of blood, there's always like new things that the characters say that are absolutely interesting. You've always gathered some darkness so that you can potentially permanently power yourself up some more. Like you are always progressing, which was my biggest worry is like, if run 20 is the same as run 1 and nothing's happened in between, like, why am I continuing to play this thing? And I never once felt like I was, it doesn't ever feel like you're doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah. And I feel like as well, of all the deaths that I had in Hades, I always knew it was my fault. I never felt like it was unfair. Like, and despite it being a really hard game, and really challenging, I always knew what I had done wrong. Oh, I should have dodged there, or oh, I could have blocked that, or oh, I could have taken that power up 3 rooms ago that was different. Like, you know, it's a really fair game despite being very, very hard.
It's a good point.
You asked about negatives, and I was really racking my head this whole time, trying to figure out what I found negative. And I think it would be the optional progression stuff, because there are optional progression stuff, such as getting gems to upgrade the looks and changes and that sort of thing. Mm. But even the permanent stuff, like getting blood cores. So I've done about 35 total runs, this not complete runs, but total runs. And I just feel that the progression, and that's about, well, you said I had 35 hours, so almost an hour run type of thing. And I just feel like it was slow, but I guess in a sense though, it makes it a long-term game. So it's kind of a pro and con. I don't really know how to express this feeling. That's why I'm kind of umming and awing this whole time. But I can't think of any really negative thing as much as I just kind of contribute that to being part of the game. Unlike some games where you're like, oh yeah, this is totally like a feature that they totally forgot about and it's just pointless. I don't have any much of that.
Yeah,
it's fair.
Carry on, Derek.
Oh, for myself, I was just going to say I didn't mind the progression in terms of like the construction stuff with the gems, mostly because like, well, and I'm not super interested in like, oh, playing 10 gems and now this like couch is not wrecked or whatever. Like that sounds super boring. But there was a bunch of like larger rewards for like completing X amount of like construction contracts and all that sort of stuff. So it feels like it was just like the little pieces that lead to this bigger thing. So that didn't bother me. The whole like nectar thing I found pretty annoying though. So one of the like rarer consumables that you can pick up or find or sometimes get rewarded is nectar, which you can give to essentially almost any of the characters in the game that you can talk to. You can give them nectar, and the first time you do, you get like an artifact, which is something that you can have one of equipped at a time, and it gives you sort of like a little boost of some sort.
It allows you to customize your run according
to a little bit more. One almost gives you like, for instance, like one might start you with like 100 gold or something like that. Oh, and one might like start you with like 50 extra health or something. Like there's tons of them. But then you can, which I didn't realize for a dozen or more hours, but you can give these people more nectar after that, which it's not super easy to find. You don't find a lot of it, but if you give them like enough nectar to the point where their like relationship meter is like maxed out, you can get like a companion from them.
Only certain
characters, but you don't know that, I don't think, until you get to that point with those characters. So you might be like completely wasting the nectar by giving it to a character, like all this nectar that you've taken a bunch of time to gather, it might feel like wasted in the end because you might be like, I want a companion, and like then you get to that level with that character and do you get nothing if you get to the end and they don't have a companion, or is there something else that you get?
I think that's a fair criticism to say that like some of those kind of upgrade mechanics are sort of poorly explained.
It's definitely discovery based.
Yes. And I think for a game that is based around, you know, we've talked about random runs and using, you know, a particular style of weapon or a particular like upgrade or a particular artifact to take with you run to run, like there's a lot of customization involved in kind of setting up how your run goes. And I feel like maybe that combined with that extra piece of randomness of, oh, also you have to discover what to do with all these resources. They maybe could have done a better job of explaining how they go so that you don't feel like, hey, that run was entirely wasted. But I don't feel like it didn't turn me off the game. It was maybe just like, oh, I maybe should have given that nectar to this person instead or whatever.
I have found the more I played, the more nectar I'm coming across. Like I had five at one point. I really wanted to figure out, I think the benefit of the nectar though is really trying to figure out more about a character too.
Totally.
For example, Skelly, I just started giving him to because he's such an interesting character.
And Skelly's pretty great, yeah.
Each time you give him one, he gives you a little tidbit and you're trying to figure out why this skeleton is here, who is your training dummy, why he's standing in the middle of this room forever letting you kill him and he just respawns. And I got to the point where he gives you a special quest, which was exciting. I haven't done it yet, but I need more Titan's blood. But the quest for Skelly is upgrade the Sword of Zagreus to the full upgrade it's possible to get through just pumping in Titan's blood. And then that's where I learned, I cheated, I looked it up. That's where companions come from. And the companions are like a one-shot, just big, giant boon, normally in the case of damage, you can use to help you on your run.
And you don't get them from everyone, so it's like... I don't know. It just feels like, and because you can only give someone one nectar a run. So if you're like, I think that this person's going to give me something cool. And then you spend like six runs or however many, like just trying to give them nectar. And maybe you don't have any for a couple runs and you're trying to like earn it. It just feels like, and it's not, I don't know. Like it's just something that I didn't end up focusing on it because it didn't feel like it was enough of a, unless you're trying to like get all the trophies or like get everyone to max rank or something, which I don't generally really care about in games. It doesn't feel like there's enough of a reward or that the reward is just too far away. To make it a priority.
And for me, it was the story. Like I was giving it to Aphrodite because she I'm in love with her obviously now. Like, she kept giving me more story tidbits and I find out later, I don't think there's any benefit to that. And if there is, I don't know about it, but
right.
I just like giving it to her because she does give me those. Also, Meg is one of my favorites. So I keep giving it to her, which Meg does become a companion later too. Mm. So, it's there's so much to discover. Like 35 hours in, I don't have a single companion. There's so much. More to unlock.
Well, and you always see everyone, like there's so many comments on like Reddit or on like, you know, I'm still seeing like ads for the game on like Facebook and stuff and people talking about how they've put like 300-500 hours into this game. And I can absolutely see that based on like how little I feel like I've scraped the surface, even though I've put like a decent chunk of hours into it.
I mean, yeah. I will 100% go back and I will play I will have this on my Xbox until it is no longer on Game Pass. 100%.
Yeah, I think I might even buy it after it's off of Game Pass.
I would buy this
because it's my new. I just need something quick to play because we didn't mention this at all, but you can just pause the run. The chambers that you go through each time are small enough so that if you just exit the game, you appear in the chamber and you didn't waste any time.
Yeah, that's very true.
Even if you half completed the chamber, it doesn't feel wasteful at all. So play 15 minutes, go to work, and then come back and continue. Yeah.
That's something that's always like the big roguelike on PlayStation, which is a PlayStation published game, Returnal. They it came out in like April or something, and there's not even like a quick save thing where you could exit the game and come back to where you're at. Like you could put your console to sleep.
Bad.
You could, and apparently the runs are like 4 to 6 hours long.
That's
so
gross.
You could put your console to sleep, but you know, if there's a power outage, you lose it. The game gets an update, you lose it. The system updates automatically, you lose it. If you decide you would like to play a different game, the PS5 does not have any sort of quick resume, so you lose it. Like, there, you have to complete your run or just give it up at some point. Like, there's no in between for that, which sounds preposterous to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Especially after playing this, where it like doesn't, you know, just the fact that I can stop playing it and not have to worry about like when I stop playing it, like why is that even a conversation? Like just let me fucking save the game. I don't need to be like, if I die here, I'm just gonna go back to my save point. Like, have it so like it saves, but once you load that save is gone and you would have to make a different one. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem that hard. And it doesn't seem to have any benefit to not have that.
And Hades doesn't have it has game states, but you can't save. It's always one continuous.
Yeah.
You can't save and be like, oh, I screwed up, I'll go back.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's obviously not impossible to do. I was about to say it's easy, but it probably isn't easy. I'm not a programmer of these games. But it's obviously not impossible. Returnal, patch that up.
And again, I think it's just another example of like, you know, with Hades, again, there was obviously a lot of feedback over the 2 years that it was in early access that kind of said like, hey, clearly this is something we want. Like, you know, not everyone has, you know, 4 to 6 hours to sit in front of a console. And if you do, like, more power to you. That sounds awesome. I'm jealous. But, you know, not everyone will have that amount of time to sit with a game and really go through it. So the fact that with something like this, you could get 20 minutes into your 35 minute run and go, hey, you know, I need to go to work. Like, I got to go do this. I'll finish this chamber and then I'll finish up later on.
Especially with quick resume, where you could like there's been time in last generation, it never would have happened because the consoles took forever to load anything, but it could be like, Michaela could get home and be like, okay, I'm going to go shower. And I'd be like, how long are you going to be? And she's like, 10 minutes. And within like 14 seconds,
I'm in
the
run.
Game from like having the TV off and having the Xbox off. Like, it's so fast to jump into stuff these days. One thing that like I kept thinking about while playing this game is, it was console wise, it was a Switch exclusive for a year. Mm. I cannot imagine playing this game with those fucking Joy-Cons. Like, the tiny ass little like barely rotate analog sticks and the tiny, tiny buttons on the Joy-Cons, like, you'd have blisters so fast.
Not fuse the shield and you can be totally zen and just block everything.
That's true.
Or not realize that it blocked.
Or spend 35 hours playing and not realize you can block things with a shield. That's blown my mind, Evan. I can't go with that.
We've been talking about Hades for a while. Is there anything else specifically you'd like to talk about in regards to the game? Or are we, you know, I feel like just as we've barely scratched the surface of playing the game, we've barely scratched the surface of things we could say about it, but we've been talking for almost an hour and a half. So,
I would say if you have Xbox Game Pass, it's a no-brainer. It's one of those games that you have to install. I can't think of another game I'd recommend more than this one if you have Game Pass.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think of all the games I've played on Game Pass, and I love having the service. I love being able to jump into games that I never would have bought and never would have played before. This is one of those examples that I think, you know, I've played so many roguelikes in my time, and being able to just jump into this and just have such a positive experience is just another testament to how powerful Game Pass can be. And, you know, Derek, you and I think it was the first time I was on the podcast. Before the podcast, we actually talked about, you know, the power of that kind of spending. And if you're a parent buying a first-time console for your kid, like, Game Pass is the reason why you would buy an Xbox. And to think that you could play nothing else, you could buy the most basic Xbox that's out there these days, you know, spend a bit of money on Game Pass and load up Hades and have, you know, 35 hours plus in this game and just love every minute of it is a really powerful thing for people. And I think, just game of the year, 100%, hands down.
and it's just, I mean, I said it at the beginning, this is something this is a game and a genre that I have never really been open to, and I never would have touched had it not been for Game Pass. And I'm so damn thankful that I did, because yeah, like I have not had more just pure fun and anger and joy and every emotion. I've not, you know, I've not had so much pure emotion playing a game and so much pure fun in quite some time. So, yeah, it's up there. Like it's a favorite for sure. My mm-hmm. goodness. What a game.
So if you don't have it installed, go install.
Yeah, that's it. You've been warned.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I thank you. Like this was pretty short notice and I just feel like we've all been like just messaging periodically about this game. And so to get us all together to be able to talk about it, I really appreciate you guys making the time. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
And yeah, this was a special episode. So I'm not going to be drawing a game for the next episode or anything like that, because this is just getting inserted in between two regular episodes. So yeah, thank you listeners for bearing with us. And you're going to have to wait an extra month to hear me and Shane talk about Need for Speed, which is a great conversation that I'm looking forward to hearing. But I just wanted to have this one. So, and it's my show. So deal with it. but yeah, I hope you've enjoyed the show. This was Hades and this was Xbox Game Passengers. If you do like the sound of my voice, you can also hear me every 2 weeks on the Geekscape Games podcast right here on the Geekscape.network. And the first of every month is when you'll get a new episode of this show, Xbox Game Passengers. Yeah, thanks again, Doogie and Evan. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure.
Nice
we'll
to meet you.
Thank you. Both soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, nice to meet
you. You guys
are
best friends now. You guys are best friends.
Yeah, that's it.
That's right.
Okay, bye guys.
Bye team.
Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.